Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
24-17, the Pittsburgh Steelers lose. 7-3-1 they are now, but we talk about that game out in Denver. And Mike Tomlin summed it up. He said, well, the Broncos, they beat us.
You know, disappointing, but you got to give Denver credit. They had a winning performance. We did not. We accept responsibility for that.
All right, yeah. The summation of all this for me, guys, comes down to the second half. You get a punt. These are Steeler possessions, right? They punt to start the second half. Then the long touchdown to Juju. Then thereafter, sputtering, and more sputtering for the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. A Ben interception, a punt, a Connor fumble, a punt, another Ben interception. Wham. There is your ball game. That's it. It's the second half. It's scoring just that long Juju touchdown, and it's an inability of the offense to gain the traction that they needed. And when they gained the traction that they needed, they turned it over and gave it to the Denver Broncos. That's it for me.
If they don't turn the ball over once in this game, they dominate it. Absolutely dominate it. And the turnovers are, I mean, it's hard for me to fault, and I know we'll get into each one of them specifically, but it's hard for me to fault Grimble trying to score a touchdown, trying to get in. Ben, though, two really bad throws, and James Conner in a clutch moment on a big run, fumbling a ball that wasn't even touched by the defender.
Yeah, and that's a big topic of conversation as we push forward through today, if James Conner has become fumble prone, or if you hold your breath whenever you see James Conner run the football, particularly in crunch time. But looking at all of this, Jim, you brought it up and you talked about what it could be for this weekend now when the Chargers come into town. I keep wanting to say the San Diego Chargers, so I'll just call them the Chargers, and that's fine.
It's a safe bet.
I try to do that too.
Yeah, but now are they right back there with everyone else, the Pittsburgh Steelers? That is to say, is this a team with the Texans, with the Chargers, with Baltimore, dare I say? Is this Kansas City and New England far and above everyone else? Because of what we saw yesterday, because we thought that the Steelers, they might not waltz into Denver, but at least they were going to get out of there with a victory. Now you wonder if they're just along in the pack with everyone else.
You know, there was another play early on before the blocked field goal. AB had a touchdown, mm-hmm. and he missed Samuels wide open
right
on a gadget play. And, you know, you can make the argument, okay, there's a touchdown there that they left.
Ben had Juju on a deep ball that he overthrew.
But, and then Grimble, he's down at the – if he's a half yard shorter, the ball goes out of bounds inside
right.
the
Are
one.
Are the Steelers right. there with everyone else? That was the question, though.
No, because we've seen two games here that the Steelers have blown because of turnovers, the game in Cleveland and the game yesterday. And Connor's, like, right in the middle of it, and like Chris pointed out, my goodness, yesterday, I don't know how that ball got loose. I don't think he knows either.
I look at this, and I look at a real jumbled AFC, and for me, the bigger picture is the picture right now and what you're going to do these last few games, because you could be looking at a team faced with a losing streak right now, or at least losing 4 or 5.
And they have the most difficult schedule of the teams left in the AFC playoff picture. The only team with a more difficult schedule in the AFC down the stretch is the Raiders. The Steelers, every game is of magnified consequence now because we talk about 4-point games in hockey. That's what they become against the Chargers, against the Patriots, and I realize the Saints are the other side of the equation, but it's an opportunity to win games against teams that shows that you belong.
What is, like, looking at the performance yesterday, right? What is best case scenario down the stretch? 3-2? Because can you see this team going 4-1 in the 5 games left? I don't know if I can.
Not if they keep coughing the ball up like they did. And last week, even in the Jacksonville game, they coughed the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
And they got lucky to get out of there with that win. You keep coughing the ball up, and that's been the biggest bugaboo for this team all year is turnover differential. They're not forcing enough on defense, and they're giving it up too much on offense.
They put it on the ground a couple other times. Switzer did on special teams. There were a couple other times it went on the ground, and they happened to jump on it.
Go all the way back to week one. What did we talk about? We talked about turnovers after that game. That's the reason they left Cleveland with a tie instead of a win.
Yeah, this is a team where again, here we are now, right? It is November, about to be December. Whenever you hear it's the city game, Jim, you know it's about the 1st of December, right? That happens every year, and I heard it in your update. So you know it's about the 1st of December. You'll start hearing that they'll sell Harlem Globetrotter tickets pretty soon, too, because that happens about this time of
year,
after right?
Christmas, right. Yeah.
Because then they come around Christmas time. And now it's November, about to be December, and what I'm getting at is I still don't know the identity of this football team.
Right. It's funny how it changes, though. Where, you know, a week or two ago, it's like, hey, the Steelers were as good as anybody in the league. And now all of a sudden, man, they should have lost to Jacksonville. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, would things be different if they had lost that game at Jacksonville than they had won yesterday?
Maybe.
Probably would have been different because that would have been the
They're
most
just,
recent
maybe,
thing that
but
happened.
Maybe, but they just feel inconsistently in the bunch of the rest of the teams.
Right. They may be at the upper echelon of that second tier of teams, the Chargers and the Texans and all those ones that we kind of poo-poo most of the time. But now you have to seriously look at them and say, no, they're right there with the Chargers and the Texans.
Or behind the Chargers.
Well, and technically in the standings they are, yeah.
We're going to see this weekend, that's for sure. Jim, excited about that 8:30 start time. I know you can't wait.
Well, it's 8:20.
Well,
so, yeah,
you gave 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, so you go through all the turnovers. You talk about the Xavier Grimble play, the Ben interception, not the last one, but the one before it, the James Conner fumble, the way the Steelers didn't move, all of that. And here they sit, 4 minutes, 26 seconds left. They get the football back. They're down 24-17. Now, the cynic or the smart aleck and everyone can say, well, who cares if they scored anyway? Boswell was going to miss the extra point or have it blocked. But that, nonetheless, that notwithstanding, 4 minutes, 26 seconds left. The Steelers get the football at the 44, which is
great field position, really.
After they gained 10 yards on that weird penalty kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Remember, they made him kick it again and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that all happens, right? So very good field position. They got to go 56 yards. Is my math correct to this point?
Yep.
First play of that drive, Von Miller decides he wants to play football for the first time all day.
First time all night we get to see him.
Sacks Ben Roethlisberger, minus six. They go backwards. They're at the 38. I think my math is correct again.
Yes.
Ben throws to Juju, 19 yards. Bam.
All right,
you're humming. And you're thinking, don't score too early.
Right.
Then incomplete to Switzer. Then a short right pass to Switzer for about 4 yards. Then 19 more yards for Juju.
Now we're red zone, right?
Yep, right inside the 20. Then Roethlisberger, short pass for 5 yards to AB. Now you have that Ben big run to the Denver 3 for 12 yards, a two-minute warning hits. Now let's really talk about this, right? So you're first in goal from the 3,
mm-hmm.
Okay? You're underneath the two-minute warning. The first play is that lob.
Little fade towards the corner for Juju.
I don't like the play call.
I don't either, because you've got 1:57 left. Mm-hmm. You only have the one timeout. Remember, they burned
Tomlin, it burned two of
right.
them, yes.
So okay, maybe you're trying to protect against that. I don't know. You got all the time in the world, 2 minutes, to run four plays down in there.
Right. So the fade, right, even if you get stuffed. So
you don't have to throw.
Not at all. Then you run the Connor, not left guard, not behind Pouncey, not through the middle.
You
run
Connor
way out wide, or at least out wider than I would have liked.
Right.
And he gets stuffed at the line. He inches forward for a couple inches. They give him a yard on the play, but he's driven way far back, right? So there it is. That's your second and goal from the 3 play. It becomes now third and goal from the 2, and then the big one. Yes, the big one.
Once you're late to the handoff, you don't want to kind of force that the play because bad things can happen. And then, I never would have thought in a million years that a defensive lineman would get blocked off the ball that far right into an interception. But good play by him.
Yeah, but he did. And it's because Ben Roethlisberger had trouble with the snap. The timing was all screwed up. He picks it up. He throws the football. It's intended, I guess, for Antonio Brown. It's going to be picked by the guy over the back of it anyway.
It's going to be picked by Chris Harris, if Shelby Harris doesn't fall into it.
Yeah, and Shelby Harris picks it off. I don't like the play call at all. This is a Steelers team, and I'll bring it even more to the point. This is David DeCastro, who has beat the hell out of people all season. This is Roosevelt Nix, who
isn't on the field at that point.
Did Roosevelt Nix die at halftime? Like, what happened? Why was he playing in the first half, and then he was not? And why did the Steelers insist on going shotgun all the time around the goal line?
Four cracks from the 3-yard line. You've got to go 9 feet to tie the ball game.
Well, they only took three of them because they didn't feel like using the fourth one.
Exactly. Four cracks, and you're not going to, you're only going to run it that one time, and that's going to be sort of a almost a sweep look. With an offensive line that has pummeled people all year.
I'm just going to say it. You know, and again, from that right guard position, David, you could take Antonio Brown, you could take Juju, you could take James Conner, you could take Ben. David DeCastro has been, you could take Mike Hilton. David DeCastro has been the best Pittsburgh Steeler this season. He has been the best player on this football
team.
He's
been the best offensive lineman on one of the best lines in football.
He has been the best Pittsburgh Steeler. I know that's opinion, but I'll say it again. The best Pittsburgh Steeler this season, David DeCastro has been. To not run behind right guard is absolute sacrilege at that point. And if you watch the throw, I know it's out of shotgun, Marquise Pouncey drives the hell out of his man.
Buries him. That's why the ball falls into his lap.
I just don't get it. I just don't get Randy Feitner getting too cute and the Steelers always being insistent out of running out of shotgun. Always, always, always.
And this is the team that we thought had figured some things out in the red zone.
I don't know. For me, it's devaluing DeCastro, who, again,
the entire
this
offensive
has maybe
line.
Been his best season. He has pummeled people and he beat the snot out of people again yesterday. I don't get it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.